put the script in scripted TV. My name is Grace Leader. Welcome to Keep Your Hands Off the Table Reads. My name is Grace Leader. I said that, but of course I'm not alone. I'm here with Dr. Amanda. How are you?
I'm great, Grace. Look, my hands are up. You can't see. They're far from the table. My hands are raised in the air. How dare anybody put their hands on the table, by the way? Who would dare do that?
Well, luckily, all of our people who said yes to this very fun initiative did say yes to putting their hands on the table reads.
So what are we doing here, Grace? What is this wild idea that we have come up with?
Yeah, so this was a project that was born out of the idea that you and I both have the Succession script read books that are were published after the series ended, and we had been toying around with doing a Succession script read, and then post-show recaps just announced that it's ending. And
this is how I find out.
Yeah, sorry to break the news to you.
Oh my goodness, and get here to process that.
And we were thinking about what could be fun ways to say goodbye to post-show recaps. And one of the ideas that we came up with is script reads, table reads of some of our favorite scenes and shows of the past 10 years and shows that we've covered with the people who talked about those shows. So, alas, keep your hands off the table reads, which is a very niche reference. I understand if you're like so new to post-show recaps, I'm so sorry that you found us so late. But this is a thing Josh Wiggler used to say when he was interviewing Survivor contestants out in Fiji. He would say, please keep your hands off the table just so that there'll be no noise coming from the table. Mm-hmm. And then we made a pun out of it. And it's keep your hands off the table reads.
Yeah. No, post-show recaps has never shied away from very, very niche references and puns. Yeah. And I don't know, maybe was it a recipe for success? Time will tell. But
probably not if this is the end of post-show recaps.
Today, what we're going to bring to you is, like Grace said, some of the scenes from some of our favorite shows that mark the shows that we covered on post-show recaps through the years. We've done a lot in this last month in terms of celebrating the television that we've talked about and celebrating the podcasts that Post Show Recaps has brought to you. And I thought that this was just a really delightful way to celebrate those shows in the voices of your favorite podcast hosts. And it was very fun to record these.
Yes.
And I hope that you enjoy listening to them.
Yeah. So each scene, we'll just be here at the beginning of the show. You enjoy the rest of the reads, and then we'll see you next time. But the way, it's just the folks who covered that show, as long as they were able to make it, some form of maybe special guests joining along the way, doing a scene from that show. So I'm very excited. I have had the chance to listen to many of them because editing and putting them together, and they are very fun. Yeah. Josh Wiggler's Tom Wamsgam is, I did not know he had that.
He could
do that, but you'll hear it today.
Wow. So, So for your listening pleasure, just kick back and enjoy these scenes. This is an opportunity for us to say goodbye to these shows, for you to say goodbye to us. And, you know, they'll always be the next thing. And we look forward to finding you friends in the future.
Also, this podcast has coarse language and may not be suitable for children.
Without further ado, please enjoy Post Show Recaps. Hosts and friends bring you Hands Off the Table Reads.
Interior, ATN, safe room, day. Boredom has started to settle in. ATN continues to play. A cycle of shaky cell phone footage, plus now chopper footage of the outside building. Sid's talking over the top.
A lot of confusion. We have reporters currently locked outside of the building. I'm talking from inside the control room.
Chiron reads, head of ATN, Sid Peach.
Not good, Greg. Trying to make me look like a coward hiding in a fucking closet while she's out there breakdancing through gunfire?
You ran pretty quick.
He gets a message.
Okay, no one heard, it seems. One person.
ATN plays on. More shaky, panicked camera phone stuff.
And reports, unconfirmed, that this might possibly be Antifa. Again, speculation, but it would fit with their publicly stated aim to do harm against us.
Fuck. Greg takes in his surroundings. Now's a good time.
Tom, listen, is now a good time for a chat?
What, Greg?
Yeah, I've just been thinking, and I don't know, but I'm in a shadow of a giant here, aka you. And do I need sunlight if I'm going to grow? Would it be okay for me to maybe check out another department?
What? But I'm digging in here.
I know. I was wondering if it would be interesting for both of us if I worked with someone else for a while.
Tom frowns. Is he hearing this correctly?
Sorry. Are you attempting to break up with me, Greg?
I mean, it's just ATN, the human furniture, the physical assaults, the verbal humiliation, the Nazis. I'm really a democratic socialist, and perhaps I could explore other opportunities.
Uh-huh.
I could come back. I guess it'd be kind of like a business open relationship.
Tom looks gutted. He stands up, stunned. He paces for a few beats.
This is not a good feeling, Greg. You're making me have, you know?
Sure, I'm sorry.
I feel a little bit, you know?
Sure, it's just an idea.
Fuck! Fuck!
Tom finds a water bottle in a big stack. He tries to undo it, can't, and then throws it against a wall, hard. Greg flinches. The security guard shifts uneasily. The mood is shifting rapidly to the anger stage of grief.
Tom, we're still good. I'm just...
We're good? We're good? This doesn't feel fucking good to me, Greg!
Tom takes one of the water bottles and throws it in Greg's direction. It whizzes right by his head.
Dude, let's just...
You are not going to do this to me. I will not let go of what is mine!
Tom starts whipping water bottles at Greg at rapid speed. Greg shrieks and scrambles to escape, but there's nowhere to run.
Hey, stop pelting me, Tom! We're friends! We're friends! Security!
The security guard makes a move like he might intervene.
You fucking stay out of this! This is executive level business!
Greg continues to run around the room, getting pelted.
Let me out! Let me out!
That's very good. That's very good.
Josh's
is that the most fucks you've ever said on a pod, do you think?
It's gotta be uh-huh. On a post-show recap podcast, absolutely.
Stonehenge! Who takes the Pandorica? Takes the universe! But bad news, everyone. Cause guess who? Except you lot. You're all whizzing about. It's really very distracting. Could you all just stay still for a minute? Because I am talking!
Now, the question of the hour is, who's got the Pandorica? Answer, I do. Next question. Who's coming to take it from me? Come on, look at me. No plan, no backup, no weapons worth of them. Oh, and something else. I don't have anything to lose.
So if you're sitting up there in your silly little spaceship with all your silly little guns and you've got any plans on taking the Pandorica tonight, just remember who's standing in your way. Remember every black day I ever stopped you and then, do the smart thing. Let somebody else try first.
If I could just explain.
Save it, Marauder. I checked the whole storage wing. No sign of him or Heli.
Shit, O&D has probably killed them already.
Irving, what?
Our department chief and new hire have gone missing. Do you know where they are?
No, I just came to see you.
And the rest of your department?
They're back in O&D, Irving. I know I said it was just Felicia and me.
If you came here to see me, then why are you in the conference room? Why not come right to the office?
I didn't know why you hadn't been back, and I didn't want to scare you again. Like with the hand thing.
You didn't scare me.
Or embarrass you. Look, I was working out a joke.
A joke?
To say when I got in.
Prove it. Tell it.
I hadn't worked it out yet.
Why did you lie about the number of people in your department?
Because we don't trust you guys.
You, the king of fucks, don't trust us?
I do. But people just talk about MDR. Stupid old stories, jokes, even.
What do you mean?
It's literally silly. Like, they say you all have pouches.
Pouches? Like, to carry young?
Yes. According to some, you each have a larval offspring that will jump out and attack if we get too close.
That's fucking psycho.
I mean, it's a joke, of course, but I don't know. The sentiment, you know, somehow holds. People are weird.
Yeah.
Though I'd be remiss not to say that in this theory, the larva eventually eats and replaces you.
Oh.
Which Irving would solve the mystery of your youthful energy.
End scene. That was beautiful.
That was incredible.
Episode 7, Dez Damar.
Lan and Rand sit in a waiting hall in Kyrian.
Tuck in your shirt.
What does the Amelin Seat want from me? Is this a trial? I saw what she did to the last man who called himself Dragon.
Is that why you ran from the Eye of the World? Why you hid here?
I left to protect the people I love.
Don't be so selfish. You were born to protect this world, every person in it, not just the ones you love. Listen to me. The Amarylline is a smart woman. She's a good woman, and she comes from humbler beginnings than you.
Does Moraine know you're doing this?
There's one rule above all others for being a man. Whatever comes, you face it on your feet. Put this on. Give me your blade.
Rand swirls into a sword form.
Heron dips the wing. You've been learning sword forms.
I've learned a couple of things.
Keep the sword.
Rand removes his coat, putting on a regal replacement.
If the Amarylline's afraid of you, it won't be for a sword. If you're going to use one of the forms, use Cat Crosses the Courtyard. Keep your back straight, every muscle loose, as if hung from a wire at the top of your head. Go. The Amarylline waits.
Greendale Community College, study room. Jeff, Annie, Britta, Troy, Abed, Pierce, and Shirley are all looking around the room for Annie's pen.
All right, it's not on the floor, so whoever accidentally took...
Not accidentally. Accidents don't just happen over and over and over again, okay? This isn't budget daycare.
Okay, so whoever insidiously and with great malice aforethought abducted Annie's pen, confess, repent, and relinquish so we can leave.
Maybe nobody took it. Sometimes I think I lost something important, and it turns out I already ate it.
I didn't eat my pen, Troy. I know I brought it, and now it's gone. I took a photo. Aha! Aha! I'm zooming! See? This is 10 minutes ago. My pen was on the table. No one has come in or out since. One of you has my pen right now.
Annie, it's a pen.
It's not a pen. It's a principle. Troy reaches for his bag.
Not a good time to stick a gum. Okay,
Are we going to the puppy parade or not? Because this is starting to feel like a bottle episode.
Again with the TV crap. Hey, Meatball, did you take Annie's pen to make life more like Benny Hill or whatever you do?
Abed?
I wouldn't do that. I hate bottle episodes. They're wall-to-wall facial expressions and emotional nuance. I might as well sit in the corner with a bucket on my head.
Well, I have a photography project to finish, and my grandmother's hands aren't going to take close-ups of themselves. Hasta la later. Was that hmm directed at me?
If the hmm fits.
I don't have your pen, Annie.
I'm always lending you supplies. You never come prepared.
If it's so important to you, here, have my pen.
That's my pen.
Well, whatever, people. They're just things.
Since they're just things, I don't suppose you'd mind letting us take a quick look-see inside your bag.
Oh, I very much mind, Annie. There's no such thing as a quick invasion of civil liberties. Oh, it all starts with a quick look-see into someone's bag, and then it's a brisk peek-a-rooney at our phone records. And before you can say 1984, the thought police are forcey-worsing you to bend and spread.
Bend and spread? Are the thought police going to make love to us?
Do they find thoughts in our butts? I knew I should have read that book.
Britta, stop using the Constitution as a baby blanket. Last week, she invoked the Freedom of Information Act to request photocopies of my notes.
That's pretty good.
Well, excuse me for living free.
Come on, Stoney. We all know the pen's in your bag.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, come on. Just dump it.
Britta dumps her bag out.
Happy?
Not if that's a used Q-tip.
Ew!
Whoa.
Gross.
Yeah, gross. Welcome to the gross business of martial law. Welcome to what used to be individuality, seized and disintegrated by cowardly groupthink. Welcome, my friends. Welcome to the machine.
Well, Annie, it looks like you were wrong. Britta does come prepared for one thing. Or six. Big weekend?
Can't complain.
Razzle pizzazzle.
Attention, students. The puppy parade is starting on the quad. Better come quick. With every passing moment, these puppies grow older and less deserving of our attention.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Where do you people think you're going?
Have you ever gone to a puppy parade halfway through, Britta? It's pointless.
Then you clearly stole the pen. The Patriarch cuts both ways.
Actually, it's pretty one-sided. That's kind of the point.
Here's my point. Whoever the pen thief is just stood there and watched me get Guantanamo'd. And I'd like to know who it is so I can let them know that they have lost my trust forever.
It's a bottle episode.
Britta, we're sorry we embarrassed you and looked through your prophylactic equipment. Your lifestyle mistakes are none of our business.
Oh, thanks, Shirley. But now let's rustle through your tampons and wallet so we can apologize to you.
Oh, I'm sure everyone here knows I don't steal.
Have you checked your bag, Shirley? If you took it by mistake, I forgive you.
Oh, so if I took it, it's larceny, but if you find it under Mother Hen, it's a mistake?
Mother Hen? I think we're about the same age.
Sure, unless time is linear.
I'll make your ass linear.
That doesn't make any sense.
I'll make your ass sense.
Girls, don't get your panties puckered. We all know what we're really thinking. If the culprit is among us, statistically speaking, it's Troy.
Yes, we were all just thinking that in 1856.
1856? What if a ghost took the pen?
Please forgive him.
For what?
For stealing the pen, dummy.
Why would I take her pen? I don't even like having my own. It's probably under one of Pierce's cast. He uses everything to itch his legs. We're on our third DVD remote.
If I took the pen, I'd say so.
You probably forgot. You've been popping painkillers like Tic Tacs.
Oh, yeah, right. Side effects, verbal dysphagia, and octopus loss. I don't see anything else on this squirrel about memory, Troy.
No, I want to know who has it.
Yeah, nice try, Shirley. That doesn't take you off the list. Jeff, you're in charge. I demand you deal with this.
There's nothing to deal with.
I'll say.
Okay. All right. Everyone breathe. You know what this is?
Yep.
Shut up. This is a normal day with a bunch of friends who are done studying and a pen maybe rolled away.
Rolled away?
Or fell down someone's shoe.
Let's check shoes.
Annie! Fine. Someone in this room is hiding your pen. Want to know why? They feel terrible. They made a mistake. They waited too long to come forward, and now they feel bad.
They should.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, pen thief, we understand what happened, and we forgive you.
If you confess and apologize.
Yes.
Right, but here's the trick. Because this person now has no reason not to come forward, if by some chance I get to the count of three and nobody comes forward, guess what? We have to accept that no one has the pen, don't we? Don't we? Good. So, here we go. One. Two.
Pierce raises his hand.
Pierce, you have something to tell us?
Yes. Is it me, or has it become really obvious that Jeff took the pen?
Yeah.
You want to make a bet, you jerks? Lockdown! Abed, seal the doors. Nobody leaves until this pen shows up.
I don't like this.
Yeah, tell it to the pen you might have. Gwynifer? Hi, yeah, it's me. I can't make it. Well, tell your disappointment to suck it. I'm doing a bottle episode.
And you broke up with her because she beat you at chess. That's pretty sick.
I don't see how I could perform sexually in a situation after something like that. I was completely emasculated. Anyway, that's not the only reason.
Yeah, what else?
All right, you want to know what one of her favorite expressions is? Happy Pappy?
Happy Pappy. What does that mean?
Like, if she wants to know if I'm pleased with something, she'll say, Happy Pappy?
Oh, you're Pappy.
I'm Pappy.
Oh, I get it. Why don't you just say it?
Oh, come on. What are you kidding? I'm much more comfortable criticizing people behind their backs. Anyway, look who's talking. You just broke up with Melanie last week because she shushed you while you were watching television.
Hey, I got a real thing about shushing.
What is this? You ever get the feeling like you had a haircut, but you didn't have one? I'm all itchy back here. What?
What is this? What are we doing? What in God's name are we doing?
What?
Our lives. What kind of lives are these? We're like children. We're not men.
No, we're not. We're not men.
We come up with all these stupid reasons to break up with these women.
I know. That's what I do.
Are we going to be sitting here when we're 60 like two idiots?
We should be having dinner with our sons when we're 60.
We're pathetic. You know that?
Yeah, like I don't know I'm pathetic.
Why can't I be normal?
Yes, me too. I want to be normal. Normal.
It would be nice to care about someone.
Yes, care. You know who I think about a lot? Remember Susan, the one that used to work for NBC?
I thought she became a lesbian.
Nah, it didn't take.
Oh.
Did I tell you I ran into her last week? Oh, she looked good. You thought she was good looking, right?
See, there you go again. What is the difference what I think?
I was just curious.
Well, this is it. I'm really going to do something about my life, you know? You know, I think I'm going to call Melanie again. So what if she shushed me, George? I really am going to make some changes.
Yes, changes.
I'm serious about it.
Think I'm not?
I'm not kidding.
Me too.
Andor, Season 1, Episode 10, One Way Out. Lonnie stands in a subway car racing through the subterranean depths of Coruscant. We hear the whooshing of the train, digital devices beeping.
This is a trap. Press the buttons for 2, 1, 5.
Lonnie breathes heavily.
We'll have privacy. We're running express.
The train thuds outside.
First of all, congratulations.
On what?
You're done. Healthy. Beautiful. You must be pleased.
The train rattles, thudding. Lonnie breathes heavily. Is that meant to scare me?
Well, it's been a year since we've had a chance to catch up. You've become a father. It's not worth mentioning.
It's not fair. You knowing? Watching me? Do you ever think how I might feel from my side?
I think about you constantly.
The train rattles.
Why are we here tonight, Lonnie?
There's a new supervisor rising. Dedra Miro. She's focused on a subject she's calling Axis. She thinks he's building a rebel network. She's starting looking at stolen Imperial naval equipment. And now, she's looking for a link to Aldani.
Dedra Miro.
There was an incident on Ferrix a few months ago. She thinks there's a link. She's been tearing the place apart. They're searching for a thief and the middleman. Axis. She's gathering interest. Partagast likes her.
Well, this is good. Encourage this.
Static over the intercom. Why is this good?
Because she's wasting time.
The train thuds, rattling outside. You had nothing to do with Aldani?
Well, almost nothing. We were invited, but declined. They got lucky. We don't build on luck. But this can't be why you're here.
Lonnie gulps, shudders. She just captured a rebel pilot running supplies for Anto Krieger. They turned him immediately and staged an incident. We know there's a raid planned on the power station at Spellhouse. If Krieger attacks, they'll be waiting.
And if he doesn't, they'll know something's amiss.
They'll be slaughtered.
It's 50 men. You're worth more than that.
You have to warn them.
To what end? Ruin everything? What better way to reassure the ISP there's no leak in security than sacrificing Krieger? I'm doing this for you as much as anything.
It's an electrical buzzing and a thudding. Lonnie breathes heavily as he steps out.
Tell me why we're really here today, Lonnie.
I can't do this anymore. I'm a father now. I had no idea how that would feel.
We took a vow.
I'm giving you Dedra Miro. I'm giving you Spellhouse. I'm warning you about Ferrix. I'm honoring my vow. I've been working my way up through there for 6 years, working my way up. Alone.
So what was your plan? Gather a big basket of goodies for me as a farewell gift? What were you planning to tell the ISB?
My health. My wife's family has an important business.
Even as you say the words, you know it's impossible. We can't let you go, Lonnie. We can't spare you. We've been grooming you for too long. And yes, you've been alone, but your career has profited greatly from information that we've provided. Information that cost me dearly. You love your daughter. Krieger's men will be dying to make sure she has a father. You're trapped, Lonnie. There's no pleasure in saying it, but you're going nowhere.
We hear whooshing as trains pass, equipment beeping. My sacrifice. It means nothing to you, does it?
I said I think of you constantly, and I do. Your investment in the rebellion is epic. Double life. Every day of performance, the stress of that. We need heroes, Lonnie. And here you are.
And what do you sacrifice?
Calm, kindness, kinship, love. I've given up all the chance at inner peace. I've made my mind a sunless space. I share my dreams with ghosts. I wake up every day to an equation I wrote 15 years ago from which there's only one conclusion. I'm damned for what I do. My anger, my ego, my unwillingness to yield, my eagerness to fight, they've set me on a path from which there is no escape. I yearn to be a savior against injustice without contemplating the cost, and by the time I looked down, there was no longer any ground beneath my feet. What is my sacrifice? I'm condemned to use the tools of my enemy to defeat them. I burn my decency for someone else's future. I burn my life to make a sunrise that I know I'll never see. And the ego that started this fight will never have a mirror or an audience or the light of gratitude. So what do I sacrifice? Everything. You'll stay with me, Lonnie. I need all the heroes I can get.
Otto Hightower and his men approach Damon on the bridge of Dragonstone.
Welcome to Dragonstone, Otto.
Your occupation of this island is at an end. You are to relinquish the dragon egg, disband your army, banish your whore, and leave Dragonstone by order of His Grace, King Viserys.
Where is the king? I don't see him.
His Grace would never lower himself to entertain such a mummer's farce.
Sir Crispin, wasn't it?
Sir Criston Cole, my prince.
Ah, yes, apologies, I couldn't recall.
Perhaps my prince recalls when I knocked him off his horse.
Ha ha ha! Very good.
This is truly a pathetic show, Damon. Are you so desperate for the king's attention that you resulted to skulking about like a common cutpurse?
I'm simply keeping with the traditions of my house, the same as my brother did for his heir.
Those traditions are for the true-born children of royalty, not for bastards fathered on a common whore.
Lady Massaria is to be my wife.
This is an abomination. With every breath, you soil your name, your house, and your brother's reign.
Our love does not know titles and traditions.
And what of you, men of the city watch, aiding the prince in his treason?
The king made me their commander. They are loyal to me. You've come for the egg? Here it is.
Damon holds out the egg.
Are you mad? You'd never survive this.
Well, happily, neither will you.
To choose violence here is to declare war against your king.
Wonderful.
Even if it ends in the death of your unborn child and its mother.
Swords are drawn. A dragon approaches.
All of you, sheath the fucking steel.
The dragon lands on the bridge. Rhaenyra disembarks, walks past Otto and his men towards Daemon.
What are you doing here, princess?
Preventing bloodshed.
Sir Criston, please escort the princess to safety.
Take care not to startle Syrax, my lord. He's rather protective of me.
Rhaenyra walks towards Daemon. Daemon and Rhaenyra speak in Valyrian.
My father named me Princess of Dragonstone. This is my castle you're living in, uncle.
Not until you come of age.
You have angered your king.
I don't see why. This is a day of celebration. I am to be wed.
You already have a wife.
Not one of my choosing.
And this required you to steal my brother's egg.
You shared your cradle with a dragon when you were born. I want the same for my child.
You're to have a child.
One day.
Masseria walks away.
I am right here, uncle. The object of your ire. The reason you were disinherited. If you wish to be restored as heir, you'll need to kill me. So do it. And be done with all this bother.
Damon walks away. He throws the egg back towards Rhaenyra.
Woo, we did it!
There we go. Easy peasy.
Woo!
Don't sing if you want to live long. They have no use for your song. You're dead, you're dead, you're dead.
You're dead and out of this world. Now your hope and compassion is gone. You've sold out your dream to the world.
Put your bags stay in there, dead, all right? Now that up there, I got that when I was 14. Took me 9 shots, but I got it. First time I ever saw something die. But it wouldn't be the last. Sorry.
Well, the marksmanship clearly runs in the family. It's a very impressive collection of firearms.
Yeah, well, it's mostly my granddad's. He started collecting them when he was about the... when he got the cabin from the Polish guy he used to bowl with, you know, before the cataracts.
Always sad when a Polish fellow gets cataracts.
No, I think what Sean is saying is that his grandfather got the cataracts, which is why he could no longer do the bowling with the Polish fellow.
Actually, the problem was that the...
Now, hold on, Sean. No, the Polish fellow got the cataracts, ending his bowling career, cutting his income, forcing him to sell the cabin, clearly.
The problem with Laszlo is that he cannot admit that there are some things that even he does not know. He thinks that he knows all things. And if there is one thing I cannot abide, it is someone who is a know-it-all things.
Actually,
if I could just take a moment, Sean, I know a thing or two about fellows, and I would say that it is more than likely that the Polish fellow went bowling with the other fellows for fun and not for his livelihood.
Nando's problem is that he has a bird-sized brain and a mammoth-sized body, wouldn't you say? You see, that theory betrays an ignorance for the many Polish fellows that have done very well vis-a-vis bowling competition money.
Agree to disagree.
Boy, do your thing.
Hey, Siri, search Polish bowlers top cash prize earners.
Okay, I found this on the web for bowling Polish top cash prize earners. Check it out.
Yes.
It's a Wikipedia page for someone called Daria Pagic.
Read the page.
Daria Pagic is a professional bowling player from Poland who competes on the professional women's bowling.
Shut up!
Hey!
Very mature.
Aloha, are you Mrs. McQuad?
Quad. One syllable.
McQuad?
Well, two syllables, but the second part is one syllable. Wad. McQuad.
Is it Gaelic?
I don't know. I really don't know. Listen, I am in desperate need of a massage. Is that possible? Is there anything available? I mean, I take anything right now because I have a herniated disc and I just...
Belinda behind you.
Belinda behind me?
Belinda, who is behind you, is our spa manager. Hi.
Oh.
Belinda, Mrs. McQuad is in need of treatment. Would you have any openings for her this afternoon? Unfortunately, we are all booked.
Oh, no. Really? Are you sure? I would really appreciate it. I'm not picky. You know, if I don't have to have deep tissue or anything... I take anything at this point. Anything. Anything but Reiki, of course.
You know what? I'll see what we can do.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
Lonnie is our trainee. Lonnie, please ride with Mrs. McQuad back to the hotel and bring her up to the hibiscus suite. Hibiscus.
Okay.
In the next scene, Tanya goes with Lonnie to the suite where Lonnie drops off Mrs. McQuad with her bags.
Thank you. One thing, it's just Where are the bags?
Right there, right behind you.
Oh, right. Of course. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wait, there's just, there was one small bag. It's a small white plastic bag. That's the only one that's, I don't see it here.
A plastic bag?
A white, yeah, it's very important.
Plastic bag?
Yes. Do you think they could have left it on the wheelie? Oh my god. Oh my god. It has oh my god.
I can call the bellman.
Yeah. Yeah, it has my mother's ashes in it. Oh. Oh my god. Do you think it's lost?
Oh, no.
I took two boats. If maybe you could call the boat, the boat people, and then there was a little white, like a little golf cart thing. I don't think it had a trunk in it, but maybe it was left on there. I just...
No, I...
Did the boat depart? Oh my god. Oh my god.
Is this it?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I just, that would have been really bad. Thank you. I can't lose these.
End scene.
See the man who was dead for you. Give me all the peace of mind for your wife. Everybody wanna know how it feels. Everybody wanna see.
How the hell did you know they were the police?
I read this novel in elementary school. Cops were staking out a hotel. One of them dresses as a bellhop. The other is a man in a suit. And it was the exact same thing.
You read a novel in elementary school?
What? I like to read.
And why did you ask them what time it was?
Throw them off. I mean, what kind of drug dealer asks a cop what time it is when he's got a briefcase full of pot, right?
We should hire you. Jesus. I'd give you the 25 grand as a signing bonus.
And I'll take it.
Unfortunately, we only hire from Harvard, and you not only did not go to Harvard Law School, you haven't even gone to any law school.
What if I told you that I consume knowledge like no one you've ever met, and I've actually passed the bar?
I'd say you're full of crap.
Okay, that's a Barbary legal handbook right there, right? Open it up, read me something, anything.
Okay. Civil liability associated with agency is based on several factors, including
the deviation of the agent from his past, the reasonable inference of agents on behalf of the plaintiffs, and the nature of the damages themselves.
How did you know that?
I learned it when I studied for the bar.
Okay, hot shot. Fire up this laptop. I'm going to show you what a Harvard attorney can do. Pick a topic.
All right. Stock option backdating.
Although backpedaling options is legal, violations arise related to disclosures under IRC section 409A.
You forgot about Sarbanes-Oxley.
The statute of limitations renders Sarbanes-Oxley moot post 2007.
Well, not if you can find actions to cover up the violation as established in 613 May 2008.
All right. That's impressive, but you're sitting at a computer.
Playing hearts. Sorry, if you want to beat me, you're going to have to do it at something else.
How can you know all that?
I told you, I like to read. And once I read something, I understand it. And once I understand it, I never forget it.
Why take the bar?
Some dickhead bet me I couldn't pass it without going to law school.
Okay, look, this is all pretty fascinating stuff, but I'm afraid I've got to get back to work. I'll make sure that Serpico isn't around waiting for you. If you want this job so much, why didn't you just go to law school?
When I was in college, it was my dream to be a lawyer. I needed some money, and Trevor convinced me to memorize his math test and sell it. Turns out, we sold it to the dean's daughter. I lost my scholarship. I got kicked out of school. I got knocked into a different life, and I've been wishing for a way to get back ever since.
Let me tell you something. This isn't elementary school. This is hard work, long hours, high pressure. I need a grown goddamn man.
You give me this, and I will work as hard as it takes to school those Harvard douches and become the best lawyer you've ever seen.
I'm inclined to give you a shot, but what if I decide to go another way?
Okay, I'd say that's fair. Sometimes I like to hang out with people who aren't that bright, you know, just to see how the other half lives.
Move over. I'm emailing the firm. We just found our next associate.
Hey! One take.
2004. Desmond is back on the freighter.
Trust me.
I do trust you, but you still have to remember that number.
7946-0893. 7946-0893. It's a London number.
Excellent timing. The patch is done, but I don't know how long the battery will last. I hope she's there.
I hope so, too.
The phone rings. The sound playing over the 1996 scene when Desmond leaves Penelope's home. She briefly looks down at him from a second-story window before closing the drapes. After several rings, someone answers.
Hello?
Penny?
Desmond?
The scene briefly changes to 1996 when Desmond is walking away from Penelope's.
Penny? Penny, you answered! You answered, Penny!
In London, Penelope is at home, standing by a Christmas tree.
Des, where are you?
I'm on a boat. I've been on an island and... Oh my God, Penny, is it really you?
Yeah! Yes, it's me!
You believe me? You still care about me?
Des, I've been looking for you for the past 3 years. I know about the island. I've been researching. And then when I spoke to your friend Charlie, that's when I knew you were still alive. That's when I knew I wasn't crazy. Des, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's better.
I love you, Benny. I've always loved you. I'm so sorry. I love you.
I love you too.
I don't know where I am, but...
I'll find you, Des.
I promise.
No matter what.
I'll come back to you.
I won't give up.
I promise. I love you.
Static cuts them off. I'm sorry. The power source went dead. It's all we have. Desmond walks towards Saeed, his memory of him and his time on the island returning.
Thank you, Saeed.
They shake hands.
It was enough.
Are you all right now?
I'm perfect.
Daniel is on the beach flipping through his journal. On a page he sees,
if anything goes wrong, Desmond Hume will be my constant.
And finally, some of our post-show recaps podcasters are going to tell you to F off.
Now we have to do our best F offs. You want to do give a, and you can say the whole thing.
Real world.
You can
say I'm gonna do my version of what I have heard it be.
Okay. I'll fuck off.
Oh my God, I'm so nervous. I don't know if I can do it.
Don't do it.
Fuck off. That was good. That was really good.
Oh, frack off.
Fuck off.
Should I say fuck off or should I say bat?
Bat is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Bat.
All right, does anybody want to say fuck off?
I can do. I'll do a couple reads of it. Okay, yeah. So first I'll do the fuck off. That's my Logan.
That was good.
I can do hey, fuck off. And I'll do like a really courteous like fuck off.
It's very good. You have range, Mike Bloom.
There we go. I tried to show it.
LT, you want to tell people to fuck off?
Always. Okay. Let me see if I can do a Logan. Fuck off!
I like that.
Thank you.
I think mine is like the exasperated man watching Big Brother. Fuck off!
Oh, someone's going to clip that out. Someone's going to use that as a Twitch emote.
All right, very good. All right, we fucked off.
Fuck off!
Fuck off!
All right, I'm going to give you one more version. You ready? Here's another take.
Fuck off.
Oh, God.
That I didn't know you were gonna do a Hugo impression today.
Fuck off.
Oh god.
Fuck off.
I'll give you one more take. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Fuck off.
Mickey Mouse. Mouse.
That's a free copy right now. It's no problem.
Mm-hmm. What's is it a Dodrick? Is that my Dodrick impression?
Yeah.
Fuck off. Ha ha.
All right, I'm gonna end recording. What's the
Well, sing, woman, sing, slime, puppy, sing for the kind of sing, ATF. Play body, lose if you stop, money coming, and who will be getting the child? Ever, ever, because the Roys hate Half off, half off, cause it's gonna get screwed. Everybody, half off, half off, half off.